Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There were a whole bunch of kids up in my house just now, and actually almost tripped on them going out the door. To see them just really puts me in a good mood, just to see this next generation of children coming up, and our kids are home, one of them in teenage fashion, probably soundly asleep, and our daughter, our college-age daughter Sylvie, back and playing with the other kids. It's a reminder of the passing of the generations, the constant cycle of time, and the constant motion of time seemingly forward. So it's the beginning of the new year. It's the first day of our schedule again, and I must say it's really encouraging to see everyone here. And I confess that it was hard to wake up this morning after luxuriating in 2 weeks of sleeping in. But you just get up and come to the Zendo. That's our practice. But the 2 weeks are good. When I was in, I don't know if I said this a couple weeks ago when I spoke last month. When I was in Thailand, I was on a in November. I was on a panel, an interfaith panel with a Christian and a Muslim woman, and we were talking about what elements of our practice and faith supported our activities in the world. And the Islamic woman said, getting up for prayers, doing the prayers five times a day, and especially the morning prayer, which she said we refer to as jihad. And I hadn't heard that before. Jihad as struggle. And I was talking to her, I said, oh, I know exactly what you mean. Actually, I looked it up. I can't find it. I was sort of researching on the web. That's not the official name for that prayer. But maybe that was her personal take on it. And at any rate, I understand. So, it's also we began the year by taking the precepts, reciting the precepts, taking our bodhisattva vows, repenting our ancient tangled karma, and starting again. We do this every month. This is an ancient tradition. This month, I don't quite know how it's scheduled. Is John here, Rogi?
Yeah.
Do we have another one this month?
Yeah.
Right. So this is a month. This is the rare month with a blue moon in it, with two full moons. So we recite it at the time of the full moon, and it's very. I was looking at, what does this mean, blue moon? And what I found, there's a number of suppositions, but one is that maybe the 15th or 16th century, Lent always falls on a certain full moon of the year. Is it the fourth? It's the third. Is that right?
No. It's the first full moon after... It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox.
That's Easter.
Anyway. They would go by the moon, and every so often... if they were timing it by the X moon of the year, they would have this mother moon that interposed itself, that was called the Belu, which means betrayer moon. Means, so that would be the one that threw off the calendar. So this is unusual. It's also a sign of good fortune, and it happens on New Year's Eve about once every, varies, I think, once every 18 to 20 years. The next one will be in 2028. I think it's pretty easy to compute it mathematically for those to whom that would be an easy thing to do, which is not me. So what I thought I would talk about today, I thought I would read you and comment a bit on something from Dogen's Eihei Koroku. This is something of supposedly a formal talk that he gave on New Year's Day. And the Koroku is a, I don't know if people have seen it, it's almost equal in size to Shobo Genzo, his essays, which we study quite seriously, and we've been studying for a long time, and we'll continue to. But the Eihei Koroku is a compendium of what he called Dharma discourses, or formal talks. And unlike the Shobo Genzo, they were composed in Chinese, a more formal language for the Dharma, and they would be given in the Dharma hall, not the meditation hall, and the monks would usually be standing, so these would be relatively brief. Listen, they were standing for the Dharma talks too, and they weren't brief. This is the way they listened to the Dharma in China in that time. But these are brief, they're pithy, sometimes a bit dramatic. And Dogen used them also to mark, he would give talks to mark the turning of the seasons, or to mark an event like we have a whole bunch of new people in positions here at Berkeley Zen Center, and if it were Dogen's time, he would give a discourse when they had a new Eno or Zendo manager or a new director or a new Tenzo, something like that. So these were seasonal and occasional comments, and sometimes there would be a dialogue, and sometimes it would be a dialogue that, as in this case, a dialogue that Dogen is having with himself. In other words, he would ask the question and then he would answer it. So I do recommend, there's a wonderful translation of the Eihei Koroku by Taigen Leighton and Chohaku Okumura. It's called Dogen's Extensive Record. And I've also had the opportunity to translate some of these with Shohaku Okumura. But this is one that comes from Taigen and Shohaku's book. It's called, it's number 32, Dharma Discourse number 32, which they titled The Advantage of New Year's. So I'll read through this and comment. Today is the beginning of a new year. And this was the new year 1241, which is 729 years ago. That's really a long time. And this was before, this is while Dogen was still, had his Zendo near Kyoto before he moved to the site of what is now Eihei-ji. So today is the beginning of a new year, and also a day with three mornings. I say three mornings because it is the beginning of the year, the beginning of the month, and the beginning of the day. We might add a fourth. It's also the beginning of the decade. I am not sorry to see the aughts go. although I'm trying to also really keep in mind that many, many wonderful things happened in this last decade. And of course, many really difficult and tragic things happened that we are still seeing play out and will continue well into the future. But I don't think it makes a lot of sense to create a summation of a decade. All I can say is it's okay with me to let it go. And I heard somewhere I actually don't have much choice about this. Nor do you. So then Dogen says, here is a story. And this is often what he does. He will relate old stories from the Chinese record. A monk asked Jinqing Daofu, is there Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year or not? So this is a kind of garden variety Zen question. I think it's meant to catch the teacher. And we don't have much of a sense of how serious this is the question. It might have been a really serious question. And maybe the fact that it was recorded means that there was some depth and seriousness to it, but you can't tell from there's not enough context. So is there Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the year? Jinqing said, there is. And then the monk responded, what is the Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the year? So this is, you know, these Chinese records and some of the Japanese records are filled with these, the kind of give and take, the play of Dharma, of student and teacher trying to bring forth the Dharma, something that happens, I think, in the question and answer towards the end of our lectures. It happens in Shosan. It happens when we have Bonsan tea in the afternoons. But there's a in these records a willingness to kind of play and challenge each other, for the student to push the teacher and the teacher to push the student. So the monk asks further, what is the Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year? Jinqing said, New Year's Day begins with a blessing and 10,000 things are completely new. The monk said, thank you, teacher, for your answer. Jinqing said, this old monk today lost the advantage. So the note that Taigen has says, denotes that the teacher did not express the Dharma as fully as the monk in this dialogue and was bettered by the monk. 10,000 things. To say, to me, to say that the 10,000 things are completely new is also kind of a formula. So it seems to me in this exchange, and I could be wrong, that he's sort of meeting a formulaic question with a formulaic response. And then feels like maybe he missed a chance. But then he reveals by Jinqing saying this old monk today lost the advantage, he's revealing something to his students assembled there. He's revealing that, oh, sometimes I can say it and sometimes I can't say it. Whether I can or not does not impede the fact that the Dharma is flowing through me and through you. Mm. Anyway, that's my interpretation. So then Dogen has another story, quite related. A monk asked Minzhao Jermen Shikuan, is there Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year or not? So, same kind of question. Here, Min Zhao said, there is not. So, this is interesting. There is not. We often have these kinds of pairings in some of the old stories. In the famous story where monk asked Zhao Zhou if the dog has the Buddha nature, his response in one case was no, and his response in the other case, in another case, is yes. Here, Min Zhao says there is not, and what he's suggesting, hoping to bring forth in the student, is there's no thing called Buddha Dharma. It's not like a thing that exists in one moment and doesn't exist in another. It is always flowing. So, you know, what does it mean to ask, is there Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year or not? There's no thing called Buddha Dharma. So the monk's response when Min Zhao said there is not is, every year is a good year. Every day is a good day. Why isn't there Buddha Dharma in the beginning of the new year? So he's pushing a little farther. He's not satisfied with this response. And Min Zhao's expression, which is somewhat enigmatic, says to this question of every year, so the monk said, every year is a good year, every day is a good day, why isn't there Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the year? Min Zhao said, old man Zhang drinks and old man Li gets drunk. This is an expression that Min Zhao borrowed from his teacher Yunmen, who was one of the great cantankerous teachers of the Tang Dynasty. In the record of Yunmen, in the commentary to it by the scholar Urs Ap, what Urs says is, this expression is used when one person does the work and another person reaps the benefit. So old man Zhang drinks and old man Li gets drunk. In this sense, perhaps it's Min Zhao who is drinking deeply, but the person who gets caught or intoxicated by the words is the monk. Taigen Leighton's comment is a little different. He says this refers to the inconceivable interconnectedness of different beings, and also expresses that the Dharma spreads wondrously beyond our usual modes of perceiving. In this case, the saying also refers to the New Year's Day, a traditional time of drinking and celebrating in East Asian culture. I like Urs Ops. I like this, the Yunmen's. Yunmen's, in the original case, what he says, sort of to explicate when one person does the work and another reaps the benefit, Yunmen criticizes a monk who asks him a question like this. He says, you have to say it yourself, not just get drunk on my words. So, having said, when Min Zhao says, old man Zhang drinks and old man Li gets drunk, then the monk has another, this monk is sharp, and he has a further response. And he says, great elder, You are like a dragon's head and a snake's tail. Which is, this is also perhaps a bit enigmatic, but it's actually, it's a really strong thing for him to say to his teacher. It's a really intimate thing to say to his teacher. There was enough trust between them that they could actually have this dialogue in the open and again be play with the Dharma. So again, this is from Yunmen, and it refers to Yunmen, and what it refers to is something that begins impressively and fades in the end. It also implies the strong beginning of a dialogue that fades to something perhaps inconsistent or trivial. So their dialogue began with him asking, is there Buddha Dharma in the new year? And Ming Zhao says, there is not. And if it had stopped there, you would have just had the dragon's head. But the way they both took it, the monk says, well, this kind of petered out. And Ming Zhao said, as the previous teacher said, oh, this old monk today lost the advantage. Again, this is an intimate exchange. Whether there's really any advantage that's lost here, I don't think so. This is just bringing forth the Dharma. So then we get to Dogen. The teacher Dogen said, so this is, he's speaking of himself in the third person. He's on the seat and everybody's standing there wanting to know what Dogen's commentary was. The teacher Dogen said, both teachers say the same. This old monk today lost the advantage. Hearing such a story, many people say, these are good stories about teachers losing the advantage in a dialogue. This mountain monk, again referring to himself, does not at all agree. Although Jingqing and Ming Zhao speak of one loss, they do not yet see one gain. Suppose somebody were to ask me, Dogen, if there is Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year or not. I would say to them, there is. So, here's his explication. Suppose the monk responded, what is the Buddha Dharma at the beginning of the new year? This mountain monk would say to him, may each and every body, whether staying still or standing up, have 10,000 blessings. So this is this is a traditional formal New Year's greeting in monasteries, the greeting that the monks offer to their teachers. And it's still used by monks in their New Year's Day cards. Blessings could also be translated as happinesses. So, may each and every body, whether staying still or standing up, have 10,000 happinesses. So then Dogen goes on. He's playing out the same kinds of dialogues, but speaking all the parts. He says, suppose the monk said, in that case, according with this saying, I will practice. So the monk's response to the teacher's comment, offering 10,000 blessings to everybody, whether staying still or standing up. Monk said, in that case, in accordance with this saying, I will practice. This mountain monk, Dogen, referring to himself, would then say to him, I, today, have advantage after advantage. And then he finishes the discourse saying, now, please practice. I think advantage after advantage. You could say also advantage beyond advantage and loss. Where Dogen's thoughts go, and this is so consistent in all of his teachings, is they go to practice. He's pointing to the fact that you actually have to make an effort. And the advantage that he's getting, he's experiencing when, of course, this is all his dialogue that he's saying, but what he's saying when he speaks, the monks part say, in that case, in accordance with this saying, I will practice. This is what he wishes to teach. I will continue to make this effort. And so to make this effort beyond any receiving of so-called truth and words or the playfulness of the dialogue, all of that is true. All of that is part of the practice. But this notion of practice, the articulation of it, is what is missing from the earlier stories. They're kind of talking about this formless environment or atmosphere of Buddha Dharma as if it were something that either existed separately or was all pervading. But what Dogen is saying is, in the end, he says, now please practice. If you want to bring forth the Buddha Dharma in the new year, you have to practice. It's not that the Buddha Dharma exists or doesn't exist. It's that if you want to meet it, if you want to bring it forth, you have to practice. This is when we had Rohatsu Sesshin last month. One of the points that Sojin Roshi was making a number of times in his lectures was that, this is my paraphrase, was that this effort and what Dogen is talking about as practice is zazen. We can't define it, or we can't reduce it to a technique, or explain. We have no idea how it works or what it means. I was just so clearly reminded of that as I sat down last night. Last night before, right? New Year's Eve. He was like, what does this mean? How does this work? I have no idea. But we know how to do it. This effort allows us to find freedom even in the midst, within our problems, freedom in the midst of restrictions, of difficulties. We create a restriction so that we can be free within it. But we can't reduce our practice to that. It doesn't just exist in that place. It exists in each moment, in each location, so long as we are making this effort. So on New Year's Eve, as we said, we ring 108 bells, and they represent, depending on the angle from which you look, 108 delusions or 108 doors of enlightenment. when seen, met fearlessly and directly our problem, our delusion, our suffering, is exactly a door to freedom. And when we live this, and there's so many people in this room who live this, each of us, when we live right within our restriction, whether it's the restriction of upright cross-legged sitting, the restriction of our illness, the restriction of the suffering of the world, the restrictions of our difficult work or aging parents, when we live and practice right within that, then not only is there freedom that exists for us, but other people see this. They may not even know what they're seeing, but they see it, and it is transmitted, some of that, some of that practice, some of that courage, some of that way of encountering the world is mysteriously transmitted to them. So, may each and everybody, whether staying still or standing up, have 10,000 happinesses. If your response to this is to say, yes, therefore I will practice, then not only would Dogen, not only would I, not only would Sojin, but every one of us then has advantage after advantage, advantage beyond advantage and loss. There are things that we lose. But those things that we lose do not interfere with all that can be gained in any moment of time. So those are that's the encouragement that I took from reading this discourse in the Koroku this weekend. I was really just looking for the right thing to talk about, and there it was. So I leave you with that wish for all of us to experience great happiness and freedom, and for all of us to continue to practice together as we've been doing for so long. It's a great joy to be able to do that. So we have a few minutes. I'd like to just, if you have a comment or a thought or a question, we have time to talk a little bit. Linda.
On your lecture had the head of a snake and the tail of a dragon.
Better that way, I think. Although it probably looks really weird.
You said we should practice with whatever is present fearlessly.
Yes.
Well, how can a person be fearless?
By meeting their fears. By really, when I say fearless, I speak as somebody whose basic characterological bent is fear, me. So what that means to me is, in a very practical way, in a moment-by-moment way, I just really often have to ask myself, what am I afraid of? And you know, look at it as squarely as I can. And my sense of practice is to to be able to hold that, to be able to endure that, and to be able to continue without being swayed by the fear. It's not that fears don't arise in the same way as any emotion, as the same way as I've said a number of times. My friend Ken MacLeod formulates the second noble truth as which is the cause of suffering, which we usually say as clinging or grasping. So the cause, the second noble truth, the cause of suffering is emotional reactivity, which is not emotion. It's what we do. So the fearlessness to me is the what I believe and what I see is the through practice, the expanding capacity to be able to endure one's emotions, to be able to understand their impermanence, watching their impermanence, not just by having some faith in it, but actually watching it. And that's my idea of fearlessness, not that fears don't arise. Thank you for the question. Jerry?
I'd like to borrow from another tradition. Why is this day different from any other day?
Why? I'm asking you. It's, you know, what is it? It was, in some ways, New Year's is like, you know, a guy catches a fish and he paints a mark on the side of his boat. And his friend asks him, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Oh, so I marked the place where I caught the fish." That's about how it is for me. Soshin, do you have a comment on that discourse?
Are you going to keep the fish or are you willing to let it go?
I used a straight hook.
So what'd you get?
No fish.